This is a Triple J podcast.
We're here, we're ready, it's time to wrap up this week, tie it up in a little bit of a bow, kickstart the weekend. It's Dave Marchese with you for the Shake Up on Hack. We're ready to unpack some of the stranger, lighter stories of the week. And just wait until you hear the all-star cast we've got for this Shake Up. It is solid, I guarantee it. You don't get shake-ups better than this. First, though, a bit of a taste of what we're getting into in this podcast.
Hack. Federal politicians could face pay cuts of up to 5% if they breach standards.
Young adults now are pretty damn close to their parents.
Mercury is finally retrograde, and here are the do's and don'ts of what you should do in order to make it through this period of time.
On Triple J.
Yeah, docking politicians' pay for bad behaviour, do you reckon that would work? It'd help politicians stick to the rules more. We're also talking people who are too close with their parents. I want the best story. The most ridiculous thing you've done with your mum or dad that's really tested that parent-child dynamic. Let us have it. But before we dive into that and a whole lot more, let's meet the Shake Up crew for this week. And it's got a bit of Melbourne energy, I gotta say. It really does. First, sporting royalty, Collingwood captain, Darcy Moore, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
Great to be back. This is the second time on the Shake Up.
I know. I'm a veteran now.
You are a veteran.
I'll know what I'm doing this time.
And what do we reckon of the stories? Good ones this week?
I think so, yeah. I reckon you've done a good job.
Okay.
So kudos to you.
You got a few thoughts. Hey, how are you feeling before Sunday?
Pretty good, mate. Pretty good. Yeah, obviously gather around this weekend in the AFL, so in the great state of South Australia, in Adelaide. So All the games are being hosted there. So I'm on a plane first thing tomorrow morning to Adelaide and get to get amongst it.
Yeah, wow. Well, hopefully this is a good opportunity to prime some of the clear their heads, get your thoughts focused. I don't know.
Okay, pre-game routine every week. What do you think?
Shake-up is good preparation for an AFL game, I've heard. Also, second shake-up guest for today, someone you know, love and miss. She's the host of the 7am podcast and Triple J royalty, Ange McCormack.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Shake-Up.
Oh, thank you for having me back. It's like walking back into, I don't know, an old share house or something. It's so nice. So
that's not always a good feeling.
In a good way.
It smells a bit better than
that. Did it end well?
It did end well, didn't it?
I hope so.
No, I miss you guys a lot.
Oh, well, it's nice to have you back on. Hey, it's been a huge week of news. Was there anything in particular that kind of kept you enthralled this week? Any particular story?
I did spend a fair bit of time on the Federal Court YouTube channel. Watching the defamation live stream. Yeah, it is probably kind of better than any courtroom drama you'll watch. It's just really fascinating stuff, high stakes. It says a lot about the media industry, what's going on.
The accusations that are being cast, the allegations.
Totally wild stuff.
We covered it a bit on Hack yesterday. We heard some more in the news this afternoon. No doubt we're going to be hearing more next week. Huge story. But hey, we've got so much other stuff to get into right now. Remember, I want to hear from you too. Join the Shake-Up. It's Darcy, Ange, me. So let's go.
Hack.
Would docking their pay force them to behave better?
On Triple J.
Docking politicians' pay. Should it happen for bad behaviour? It could. The government's working on setting up a new body that would investigate stuff like bullying, harassment, discrimination. And one of its powers could be to basically fine politicians up to 5% of their annual salary. Now, some politicians are all for this idea. They're supporting it, saying it should happen. Others, not so sure. What do you think?
Hack. You don't have to look far to find an Aussie poly behaving badly.
So you mixed alcohol with prescription medication.
I made a big mistake.
You sit down with it.
How pathetic he is as a Prime Minister.
Independent inquiry described Parliament as a revolting and humiliating workplace.
The proposed Independent Parliamentary Standards Commission would be able to dock politicians up to 5% of their base salaries.
Suspend MPs.
Do you think politicians should be fined for behaving badly?
I think it's a no-brainer.
They know better than anybody else.
On Triple J.
They're no better than anyone else.
Yeah, what do you think of this idea kicking around? Not set in stone, still an idea. But the government's pretty confident it can get these changes across the line eventually. More accountability for politicians caught doing the wrong thing. Do you think it's a good idea, docking Polly's pay? Would it work? Someone on the text line now says if the politicians get a pay cut, they might have to sell one of their several investment properties. Oh, the humanity, they say. Is there another punishment that you think might work for politicians, might be better suited? Call in 1300 0555 36. You can message in too, 0439 757 555. This is The Shake Up on Hark. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the headlines with Collingwood captain Darcy Moore, host of the 7am podcast, Ange McCormack. Darcy, what do you think of this? Is this a good idea?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's, I'm sure there's no shortage of people who would want to see it happen. But I was thinking about this a little bit in football terms.
Interesting.
Where you get fined if you do something on the field against the rules, like a minor indiscretion is a fine. But then if what you do is deemed a little bit more serious or a little bit more intentional, you get suspended, of course, so yep. You miss games. So is there something here where politicians potentially miss sitting days? Yeah, well, go in the timeout corner.
Do you reckon that'd work, or do you think they'd just be keen to miss the
Are they then getting paid to do less work? Yeah, potentially.
It's interesting in sports terms, like the three-strike rule, for instance, where there's different levels where it is first, you know, maybe a bit of a warning or something, then it turns into some time off the field, then a bit more time, a public shaming as well. Ange, what do you think? Do you think this might work?
Would it work? I think probably politicians do really care about like their public image and perception, right? And if we're talking about their behaviour being scrutinised more closely and kind of behaviour behind the scenes, right? Like we see what happens sometimes when, you know, someone like what Barnaby Joyce did, and you see those images, you know, of him on the pavement, whatever, and the public judges that. But there's stuff that happens or that must happen behind the scenes, things like bullying in the workplace that just isn't actually possible for voters to see. And if this was applied to those kinds of things, I think that would be really significant, because then their image would start to become more tarnished and they would have to like work at a higher standard. So, yeah, like, dock them.
I feel like the other...
Just dock them, all right?
The other question is, like, who decides and how do you decide... How do you adjudicate something like this?
Right.
Like,
well, King Charles.
Straight to Charles's desk.
Yeah, he's got some things.
Barnaby
to
Joyce
do.
Was pissed on the sidewalk.
You could see him making a ruling, I guess.
That'll be 10 grand.
I mean, this body is going to be set up. It's kind of wild that there's not a code of conduct for politicians and, you know, their staff already. Like, does that surprise you, Darcy?
Sorry, say that again.
Does it surprise you that there's no code of conduct for politicians
It does.
Now?
Yeah, absolutely it does. It's like, I don't think there are many workplaces in the whole country that doesn't have a code of conduct, let alone really clear punishments for when people transgress. I think it's super unusual and probably something that the public, the electorate, didn't know that they're not actually subject to any sort of clear code of conduct. It's pretty unbelievable when you think about it.
We got some messages coming through. Someone says, yeah, give Pollies a fine and they can afford one less solid gold back scratcher. Oh, that's James's view there. Someone else says, yeah, dock the pay for AFL players when they behave badly, so definitely dock politicians' pay. Another one, Luke in Preston, says, rather than pay docks, we should go back to the Westminster traditions that if you can't uphold the high standard of a publicly elected office, then they should resign. And another person, what a joke. If I misbehave at work, I don't lose part of my pay, I lose my job. It should be much more harsh. And I was going to ask, like 2 to 5% of a $200,000 salary, is that going to be a deterrent? Because that's equivalent to about $10,000. We had Senator Lydia Thorpe saying it's more of a slap on the wrist, really.
I think the money penalty is probably more symbolic, right? Like if it's published, if it's known that a politician is being slapped with a fine like that does damage to their reputation. I think that's probably the thing that would, be more significant for a politician. And then if voters listen to that, then they could be at risk of losing their job because the public decides if they stay in or out. That's kind of how it works. But I think overall, I just kind of think that it's a bit sad that we're even having to like think about framework around this for people that should be, you know, our highest representatives of society. Like these are people that, you know, the country elects democratically that are meant to be the best of us. And if we have to like do all this work in the background and create this bureaucracy to keep them in line, like, what does that really say about the standard that exists there?
We've got a lot of thoughts on this one on the text line. Someone says, the three-strike rule, if they screw up, sack them with no pension. Another person says, no, sorry, the three-strike rule won't work. It's if important legislation is being passed and they miss a vote, then their constituents are the ones that miss out. Mm. And somebody else says, realistically, the only Polly's worried are the ones likely to get their pay docked. Darcy, I've got to ask you this because, you know, we're talking about punishments. The AFL obviously been in the headlines over the past week over allegations of players faking injuries to cover up positive drug test results. Do you think that that system, the three-strike system, works as a deterrent?
Yeah, I think, look, it's something that has obviously been talked about, and honestly, whenever one of these stories relating to illicit drugs in the AFL becomes public, it was always a bit of a media storm, but it's pretty clear the policy that the players sign up to is actually voluntary and is actually focused on the well-being and welfare of players, and an enormous part of that is a close relationship and care between doctors and players in these situations when these transgressions occur. So when you consider that it's a medical model in that sense and it's about the welfare and well-being of players, confidentiality is super important in that because that's about players getting the support they need.
I mean, I guess there's probably fans out there that feel like stuff's being hidden from them or they feel disappointed by the allegations. Do you think that's fair?
I totally think it's fair. I think it's fair when you consider that, you know, injuries potentially getting reported that are not truthful, that it's actually for personal reasons. But definitely as a player, I would endorse the confidentiality side of the arrangement and the policy that we've got because that's just so important so that players can get the support that they need when they need it.
Yeah, we've got some messages coming through. Steph from Albury says there were more than 1,000 submissions to the Jenkins Review from staff at Parliament. There's no way their workplace is significantly safer than most workplaces. Yeah, and I mean, the findings from that were really startling. I think one in three people reported being sexually harassed while working in Parliament House, which is just, you know, mind-blowing. Someone else says the Australian Public Service has a code of conduct. Politicians should be held to the same account as public servants. And do you think it's kind of weird that, you know, politicians can't really be sacked, can they? Like, if they can't be removed from Parliament for doing the wrong thing. They can be removed from a political party, kicked out, booted out of a political party if they've done the wrong thing, but it's voters are the ones that hold the deciding vote. Do you think that's a good thing?
Democracy, is it a good thing? Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, that's the system we have to, like, it's in place to get people in there, the people decide who's going to represent us, that's why it exists. But then if something is going really disastrously wrong with the politician, I guess that's also the only tool that we have to get them out, which is problematic. But I suppose something like a code of conduct or having some kind of penalty or punishment for doing the wrong thing would help to bridge that gap in some way.
Or I suppose as well, like, within the Parliament, there's obviously a hierarchy of, like, cabinet positions and then backbenches.
Yeah, so demotions and stuff.
Yeah, you see demotions happen, which is sort of one mechanism, I suppose, of accountability. But again, that's up to the MPs themselves.
Someone on the text line says, no other workplace would tolerate name-calling. Three strikes, maybe it should actually be one strike. Yeah, question time. A few people might be finding themselves in a bit of trouble just from that alone. Another person says, athletes are put under huge scrutiny regarding their actions. Why should politicians be any different? And then someone else just says, up the pies. Oh, I had to throw that in.
I love that.
I had to throw that in.
Love
I've
that.
Got to move on.
We live together. We got weight loss surgery together. Now she is gifting me a tummy tuck.
On Triple J.
Hey, can you be too close with your parents? It's a question we were asking earlier this week on Hack, speaking to some experts as well, hearing some of your relationships with your mum or dad. Some of what you told us was pretty full on. Some of it we can't know. Some of it, parent-child friendships really testing the boundaries, getting cosmetic surgery together, flirting with the same people, getting into all the details about your respective hookups with your mum or your dad. I don't know, seems like some of you think that there is nothing better than keeping friendships in the family.
Hack.
I am super close with my mum, and it only happened kind of recently.
The parenting style can be probably, I think the word would be a little more involved.
We love to go out dancing together, sometimes flirting with the same guys.
I recently had a pap smear. I was really scared. My mum was like, FaceTime me.
Been contacted by friends of mine, and they're like, oh, your mother rang me because she hasn't heard from you for 2 days. And I'm like, she what?
So many people do have a really close and enjoyable relationship with their parents and indeed their family, but it's not always the case for everybody.
I'm really happy that I have their relationship with them.
On Triple J.
So keen to get your take on this one. If you're one of those people that has an exceptionally close friendship with a parent, I want to know, what's the weird stuff you do together that maybe your other mates say, that's a step too far, you're too close with mum or dad? How close are you with your parents? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in as well, 0439 757 555. This is The Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by podcasting superstar Ange McCormack and AFL superstar Collingwood captain Darcy Moore. Ange, is it weird to be best friends with your mum or dad?
In a word, yes. Best friends? Like, yeah. Your best friend in the world is your mum or dad.
And that's what people are telling us.
Yeah, I do think that's weird. I think you should have your own friends. I don't think
all
there's
right,
anything...
All right, and that's all we've got time for.
Well, to add a little bit more nuance, yeah, if you must...
I do, yes.
I think there's nothing wrong. And in fact, there's a lot to love about having really close relationship and friendliness with your parents.
I mean, on
parents.
The surface, it seems beautiful.
It's lovely. That's lovely. But if we're talking about, like, you consider them in the same way that you consider your close friends, I think that's not... Right. And I think, like, you have your friends for a reason. You have your parents for a reason. Yes, you can be close. Great if that's the situation for you. But I wouldn't want to sacrifice my friendships, which are, like, extremely dear to me, for the sake of, I don't know, hanging out more with my parents. And that's not, I love them and I don't, that mean any offence to them.
Sorry,
Andrew's mum.
Yeah, no, she's a big listener. Sorry about it.
Yeah,
Darcy, sorry. What's your take? Because let's be serious. We all saw it. Your dad, Collingwood great, Peter Moore, Premiership Cup.
Yeah.
You know.
In front of the national audience and millions. Yeah. Is that being too close with your dad when you achieve
probably,
the
yeah.
pinnacle of your professional career and he's the one who hands you the Premiership Cup in front of millions of people watching at home? That's probably being too close.
That sounds more like a colleague.
Yeah. Or like Australia's biggest Nepo baby.
Oh.
Maybe I'm that.
Nah.
So we do have the father-son rule in football and now the father-daughter rule, mother-daughter rule as well. So, I suppose that's facilitating a few Nepo babies, of which I am one.
So hold on, off Nepo babies for one second. Okay. Back onto parent relationships. So are you pretty close with your parents? You have a pretty close relationship?
Yeah, I mean, after hearing those sound bites, I don't know. I thought I was close with them, but I'm not. Apparently not that close. Yeah. I don't know, like, it's maybe a weekly phone call. Maybe. Mm. I feel like the amount of phone calls a week is probably a good indicator. And yeah. I reckon I'm going at one, maybe two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes more.
Okay.
Depending on mm-hmm. the situation.
And number of phone calls?
Different for different parents, but yeah, like around one.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, let's find out what Hack listeners, their experience is. Kiara's on the line now. Hey, Kiara, thanks for jumping on. I want to ask you, how many times are you calling your mum?
Hey. I'm very close with my mum. I call her every day after work.
Every day?
Every day. She also lives next door to me.
Oh, she lives what, like in the house next door?
Yeah, in the house next door. So she went through a divorce 2 to 3 years ago and the house next door came up for rent. So I got her in touch with the realtors and she jumped in next door.
Is it ever too much? I mean, it sounds nice. Like, obviously, you want to be close to your mum. She's next door, but you're calling it as well, like, every day. You're seeing her every day. Do you ever go, oh, nah?
Nah, I call her every day. Daily ritual. We don't see each other every day, but we do Sunday dinners.
Okay.
And it is very handy when you run out of milk and they can just chuck some over the fence.
That's true. It's like you've got a second house, I guess. You just go over there, get what you want. Hey, Kiara, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate you calling in. Jess from Hobart says, I'm pretty close with my parents. The one thing I've done that I feel was testing the boundaries a bit has been sharing a joint with my parents as an adult. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Do you know what I do support, Dave? Being friends with your friend's parents.
Oh, this is controversial.
There's something beautiful about that.
Yeah, because you can kind of, everyone always, you know, like whinges about their parents a little bit, but then you meet your friend's parents, you're like, you're great.
It's always a bit of a feeling when you're like, oh, I'd like to hang out with them a bit more, actually. Yeah.
Can we invite them?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it is. I mean, the research has shown that Jen said is a lot closer to their parents, relying on them more financially, emotionally. Mm. Darcy, do you reckon that's a hang up from COVID? Do you think it's just because, like, cost of living pressures? What do you reckon it is?
Yeah, that is really interesting when I read that it was potentially a bit of a generational thing. Maybe the expectation for younger people now with housing is that you're going to have to live with your parents for a bit for longer. Like, it's just sort of a foregone conclusion and spending time, maybe generally speaking, in your 20s with your parents. So that in some way pushes people to have closer relationships and something more akin to a friendship. So maybe the conditions are in place for that
also,
to happen.
Also the sharing of spaces in terms of social media now. Like if you're on Instagram, TikTok, your parents are on there too, maybe they're seeing the side of you that normally, like decades ago, parents wouldn't have seen. They wouldn't have seen the side that maybe you show to your friends or whatever. I don't know. That's one kind of theory, I guess. And is it a red flag or a green flag if someone's really, 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 really close with their parents?
Like some of the things that we heard in the
FaceTime during pap smear.
Yeah, I think a bit of a red flag, I'm going to say. No, okay. I don't know. I mean, I do also think that it's nice if you do really love your parents, but if you have like fewer friends because of that, I think that's weird.
Do you feel that there is a pressure these days to have a really close relationship with parents? Because you often see stuff on TikTok, all over social media, of people having these really tight relationships. Maybe your own friends have something and you feel, oh, maybe I've got to do that as well. I'm not sharing enough. I'm not as friendly with my parents as I should be.
Yeah,
this is all getting pretty deep, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, and I think it's worth acknowledging that. And like on, you know, around times like Mother's Day or Father's Day, and some people are doing all these gushing posts, and you look at them and you go, oh, or some people do and go like, oh, that's not really a reflection of my relationship with my parents. And that's obviously okay. I think probably it's the exception that you're going to have like a flawless relationship with your parents. I think it's naturally a complicated situation to, you know, have a relationship with someone that brought you into the world. Like that's.
On the text line, someone says, all of this screams single child. Interested what the stats are there.
Yeah,
that is. I wonder whether the ones that have the super close relationship are only children. Who knows? Isabel in Ngunnawal Country says, I consider my mum one of my besties, but there is a clear difference between her and my actual friends. I call my mum probably 3 times a day. And someone else says, families can be so fraught and dysfunctional or toxic that if anyone has close relationships with their parents, then that's great. It doesn't mean it's at the expense of other friendships. And one other person says, I'm a parent and I don't want to be best friends with my kids.
Savage.
Which is pretty fair enough. She says, it's just weird. Don't get me wrong, I do love to help them. Hey, we got so many messages pouring through on this one, but got to move on.
Hack. Here's what you can expect for this Mercury retrograde.
You might be feeling nostalgic. You might be feeling like, I want to reach out to an ex. I want to reach out to a friend who is toxic. Don't do it.
Mercury retrograde is a heaping helping of horse shit.
This shit is real, okay? Women in STEM, planets, science, listen to me.
On Triple Jack.
It is here. Mercury retrograde. It's back and it's ready to destroy your life. Delays, confusion, chaos. It's all upon us over the next few weeks and there's nothing we can do. I'm kidding, of course, but maybe not. Maybe I'm not kidding. Because in the past, talking about this stuff has been pretty out there, but now it's so mainstream. CNN did a big story. The headline, all the dates and everything you need to calm down. Mercury retro on CNN. Do you believe in this? You base your life decisions on the positions of the planets, the stars. You can't stand it. Maybe that's you. You're on the other side of the fence. but someone in your life is obsessed. Call in 1300 055 36. You can message in as well, 0439 757 555. It's The Shake-Up. I'm Dave Marchese, breaking it all down with Collingwood captain Darcy Moore, host of the 7am podcast, Ange McCormack. Darcy. You're like, don't go.
Can we talk
to
about something else?
You're like, back to the parents now. So, are any of your teammates big into this? Like, the Pies checking all the charts before a big game?
Not that I am aware of, but maybe I should ask some questions.
I mean, can it hurt?
I don't think that would hurt. Maybe I'll pass a star chart around the locker room and see if we can sort of track our team's progression.
Are you into it?
Absolutely not. I've been rolling my eyes for the last 2 minutes during that intro. It's a whole bunch of woo-woo crap, to be honest.
It's kind of weird you say you're not into it, because I have it on good authority that your partner, who's open to these things, Dee, is open, and you facilitated this with a present, a diary, to keep track of all of the planetary alignments and feelings.
It's true. She just recently moved into her Saturn return, and I got her a journal, which was a journal to help guide you through your cosmic journey.
Also interesting, when I was trying to like describe what Mercury retrograde was or whatever just before we came on, and everyone was trying. Yeah, I can't
you
actually.
Did a bad job.
Yeah, apparently planets are going backwards or something. I don't know. And I was trying to describe it, and then Darcy's like, no, and then came out with the full explanation. And I thought, well, for someone who's not into it. Yeah. You're giving into it.
Oh, such an Aquarius. Oh, what an Aquarius.
Ange, thoughts on this one?
No, I don't buy into it whatsoever. I think there's an inclination to want to blame life's problems on something, right? And it's very easy to have a scapegoat of, like, Mercury's doing it.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, if your job is crap or you can't afford your rent or like something is going on, like usually there is a system in place that is making that part of your life not good. I don't think it's the solar system. It's just like, you know, it's
another system.
It's capitalism. It's the man. Like, be angry with those things, not Mercury. Like, come on.
Okay. Well. I mean, do you think that believing in it, Darcy, though, can help us a bit? Like, if it can provide someone with a bit of clarity, explanation, help us see that maybe we can't control everything? Because people like to think that they're in control of the universe, which is another big problem. Maybe it's a good thing.
I think so. I think, and it's also kind of fun and funny. And I also think it is so closely related to like internet culture, because I feel like star signs and all these sorts of cosmic changes and life phases is like an absolute godsend for social media, because it's like, it's quite funny to see it like visually represented on social media.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's, I don't know, sending it to your friends and saying, this is why you're like this, or this is why, in Andrew's words, why you hate your job. It's not your fault. I think it's, there's kind of a fun social element to it as
it's
well.
It's not the system you should be focusing your attention on. Yeah, okay, interesting. Got some messages. Someone says, the interesting thing about Mercury retrograde is right now, weather-wise, there are floods, earthquakes, planet alignments with major weather events. Just a thought I've had. That's someone's observation on the text line. Another person says, I still don't even know what retrograde means. I can give a bit of an explanation.
Yeah, come on, give it to us.
Okay, so basically it's this optical illusion where for this period, it happens a few times of a year, and it appears that Mercury is rotating backward because of its proximity to the Earth.
And why is that ruining our lives?
Yeah. Oh, it's hard to say.
Things are just backwards, right?
Things are just backwards. But, yeah, apparently this alters the way that we communicate, travel, create, connect with ourselves and each other. So huge if true.
Wow.
Huge if true.
Terrible if true.
Terrible if true for all of us. Oh my gosh. Hey, that is all we've got time for on The Shake-Up for now. It's gone so quickly as always. Massive thanks to The Shake-Up crew, Collingwood captain Darcy Moore. Thank you. Good luck this
weekend.
Dave.
Thank you very much.
Although it's probably all written in the stars, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You know, we just got to surrender to the universe. Yeah, That's what I'm going to say to the boys just before we run out there and play. I'm going to say, guys.
That'll be a headline in the Herald Sun tomorrow, definitely. Ange McCormack from the 7am podcast. Always a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Hack. on Triple J.
Big thanks again to our Shake Up guests, Collingwood captain Darcy Moore and 7am host Ange McCormack. It's been a huge week. A lot of you are ready to dive into the weekend, bit of time off, I'm sure. Maybe not. Maybe you're working through the weekend. Either way, enjoy the next couple of days. I'll be back on the other side. I'll catch you Monday. See ya.